Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Apartments.com, we've all been in our places a lot recently. So we're doing that thing where you look around and imagine, well, what you really want your home to be. Like a balcony for your own private piece of outside, an extra closet, or a space for an actual home office. How about that novelty? The cool thing is, there's a thing for that. Apartments.com. They've helped millions of renters find their perfect place. With powerful search tools and 3D virtual tours, Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Hey, welcome back to Carolla Classics for Saturday, May 21st, 2022. The show where we play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show's 13 plus years of podcasting history. My name is Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday, Chris.
Happy Saturday to you, Gio. I'm really excited for today's classics. We've got some listener requests. It's going to be a good one. By the way, if anybody wants to submit a listener request, it's really easy. Just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Or you can find us on Instagram at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana 1. Let us know what you want to hear, and we'll find those clips for you. All right, this first clip that we're going to play today, we're going to go back to 2012 and hear when actor slash musician slash motorcycle aficionado, at least according to his Instagram profile, Rusty Coons was on the show. He's you remember him from Sons of Anarchy, but we got him in studio, and there's a fun reenactment too.
Adam Carolla Show 882. Rusty's in the studio with his buddy Evan Seinfeld. Evan from Biohazard, formerly also a musician, sometimes actor, adult film performer at times. They get into Rusty's stint in prison, which leads to a funny reenactment between Adam and Brian. Check it out. Hope you guys enjoy.
And now you're a huge dude, but you probably didn't play a lot of sports. Like, you weren't a jock. Were people trying to recruit you, like in high school, was the football coach coming around and that kind of stuff?
No, not really. I actually got in a fight with the football coach.
Then I
got kicked out of the school.
What? Get the hell out of here.
Then they kicked me out of the whole district.
You're blowing my mind, man.
Then it went worse. Then I got sent to CYA, mm-hmm. all in the same year.
Now, wait, the CYA is like the
California Youth Authority.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Did my thing.
As opposed to the other CYA, which is cover your ass.
You got kicked out of the school, and then actually...
For fighting with the coach.
And then threw you out of the entire district.
Well, yeah, because after I fought with the coach, then I said, fuck
you.
Excuse me.
Then I left.
That, bro.
Then they sent the police after me, and I said something to them, so they cuffed me up, took me back, and then drug me in front of the principal, and then I told the principal that, you want to fight?
And that chick backed off in a
and
hurry.
And that was about it. So, yeah. And then I went in front of the school board and I tried to defend myself, and that wasn't working.
Rusty is 6'5" and a half, 272 pounds of bigness. with tattoos.
I think you might be light on the weight, but
no.
All right, let's make it 290. But you always round down
solid,
a little bit.
Solid muscle.
Big is a big dude, and he's big. And it ain't that. It's that big dude. It's that. It's not that, oh, man, the guy's on the creatine, big dude. It's just big dude, which is always scarier than the guy who's pumped himself up, because there's sort of inflated big dude, and then there's I'm a big dude,
I did that back in the 90s.
And
it's not good.
No.
You get your heart's
moody.
Working too hard. Uh-huh. Oh, everything, man. I mean, I was at a gas station, and a bunch of cops pulled me over one time, and I hit the gas pump. You know, I put a dent in it just because I was getting a ticket.
Oh, you punched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was so mad I wanted to hit them, but instead I did that.
Sure.
You know?
You punched him.
He's like Mongo.
And then Murph, the old guy from 76, came out pissed, threw his hat down, and they fucking threw down right in the parking lot.
I'm telling you, in the morning, the mornings I hate. You know, when I go in the shop.
You're not a morning guy?
Oh, I hate it. I hate it, man. And I go in, and I'm in a bad mood already. Now, you put me on steroids, forget it.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
It'd be over.
Made you moody.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, he's so big that when, like, it puts me in a different role than I've ever been in life, where, like, we walk into some place, and I'm now the easy approachable guy.
Yeah.
Where people are just like, hey, man, can I talk to you a second?
Yeah.
You know,
I used to be the pariah.
I used to be the guy that they were worried about, and they're like, listen, man. Is everything going to be okay here?
Hey, you should have seen with the band, man. There's been times when people have been afraid to book us because of me.
I understand.
I'm like the easiest guy to get along with there is. You know?
Well, listen.
And I tell him honestly, you know? And Adam, you know me. I'm an honest guy above everything. And I just say, hey, man, Rusty's the nicest guy I know. And they're like, well, what if we piss him off? I go, don't piss him off.
Yeah, that's the part. See, we want to know we can piss you off and still have a chance, but not so much with Rusty. So, Rusty, you go in with the CYA. How long are you in there for?
I was out of there. Oh, God, what did I do? I escaped first, then they caught me, then they sent me there.
He broke through the wall.
Hey, Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid's
oh, yeah. I know it wasn't a ventilation.
Well, I told him, I said, you're going to send me to CYA just for going and vandalizing a school when I'm drunk?
Right.
And I says, okay, fuck it. I left. You know, so I disappeared, took some guys with me. They got caught.
Right.
I stayed gone for a while. Then they got me, went, did my time, got out probably a year or two. I don't know.
Then you learn your lesson and join the Hells Angels.
Yeah. I went straight.
Right.
You know? And then I got another case in the state a few years later. Well, that's about nine years later. And then that was drugs and machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more serious than the school thing.
Uh-huh.
I quit playing with guns after that.
Sounds like a Warren Zevon album.
All that stuff.
Now you're cool.
Yeah. I'm totally legit now.
Yeah,
I can't afford it anymore.
No, I know. What happens is you get a little older, you stop. There's something about that testosterone. I mean, whether you're shooting it in yourself and it comes from Mexico or whether you're just producing it yourself, because that's what it is. Like I try to tell people, 22-year-old dudes are on the juice. Even if they're not juicing,
they have
glands that are making the juice. At some point, you hit 46, and you're like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
When I was 22, I hit everybody who came within hitting range who looked at me funny.
Yeah, you have this thing where it's like you'll fucking throw down by the side of the freeway, then you'll punch any gas pump. It doesn't matter. And then at a certain point.
Whether it's high test or unleaded.
Yeah. Even if Diesel just looks at you the wrong way, he'll take a swing at it. But I'll tell you the time I do want to. I'd like to bring you out with me, Rusty, because not for the cops, but I do this thing where. You ever do that thing where you put the gas pump in, and in California, it's got that little accordion thing so it can collect the fuel vapors or whatever. You push it in, and, you know, you drive a car with a 20-gallon tank. Some of these stations, it's going to take 10 minutes to fill it up, and it's on empty, and you put the thing on, and you flip the switch down, and you keep it on, and you push the accordion in, and you start to walk away, and it pops out.
Oh.
And then you push it back in, and then it pops out again, and you're like, fuck, do I have to fucking hold this filthy thing the entire time?
And eventually you have to put your credit card back in, because doing that enough will make it lock up.
Then you travel through Texas. When I was in Texas, they just have a rubber donut that just goes. It's just flat, and it just goes and sort of blocks it off. But it's not the accordion thing that's the time thing where you go to clean the windshield and it pops. Oh. The worst, this is as close as I ever get to being raped. The worst is when you push it in.
So far.
You click it. you think you got it going, and then you head in to get a six-pack, and you're talking to the guy behind the counter. If you come out and you realize it popped out the second you turned your fucking back, and you have 2 ounces in the goddamn tank.
That is just like rape.
That no, it's worse than rape, sweetie. It's worse. All right. Should we do a little news?
You know, Adam, I'm going to throw to one thing.
Go, Evan,
you know,
yes.
You talked about, you know, Rusty being in prison and everything. That's actually the interesting story of Attica 7 is, you know, Rusty wrote the songs that became the first album completely during a 7-year prison sentence. And that's where we got the name. That's where we got the name Attica 7.
I passed Attica on the, I swear to God, Attica, but it's not spelled Attica like the prison,
no.
Is it?
No, it's got a K instead of a C.
Right.
Looks more heavy metal that way.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
It's very tough.
We were on the road from Montreal to Buffalo, and I think we passed Attica.
Upstate New York, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember wanting to take my tin mug and drag it along the rental car window and scream, Attica, Attica. All right. So 7 years in the joint. You know, I've often said I wouldn't really want to go to prison, but 1 year, I feel like I could get a lot of work done. I'd probably write like a one-man show and a book, you know. Like, I get some work done.
It'd take a year to get processed. That's the hell part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you first go in and you got to go through all the bullshit and everything in the court and, you know, shackles and all the other stuff.
Do you have to take up with a group when you're in prison or not?
No, a lot of people do, but I refuse to do that. I was myself the whole time. I might have one or two guys that hung out with me, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't your size, would you have to take up with a group?
Not really, but there's a lot of people that do it because they're not my size. You know, I think most of them are cowards.
Mm-hmm. So you don't, you know. Did they try to recruit you?
Yeah, a couple of them resented it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like you'd get the white Aryan Brotherhood or something to come by and tell you, hey, man, come on over.
Well,
rush
no,
our
it's
frat.
Not like, it's not like that.
We're all going to Denny's.
Yeah,
like
come
cheaters.
On, hang out.
You know, there's just, you know, when you're a Hell's Angel, you're a Hell's Angel.
Oh.
You don't follow anybody, and you don't expect any of them following you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're
like
just
that.
Independent.
Yeah. And do they know? Like,
oh, yeah. They know.
But what if I went to prison and just went, hey, man, I'm a Hell's Angel. Come on now. And then they'd go,
I think
like,
it'd work.
They go, which one? And I'd go, what chapter are you from? They go, Orange County. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not. I'm over on the other side. I'm in. You know anyone in the Montana
usually
chapter?
Before I would even get off the bus,
mm-hmm.
everybody knows who's who in the zoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird how
and
things
And they know who's in for what, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the part that's always weird to me. Like, they go, those pedophiles, man, they don't stand a chance. Like, well, when do you guys have the meeting where you discuss why everybody's in there?
They give you a spreadsheet in the
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
here's
saying.
Here's all the new guys, and this is what they're in for.
That's what I'm saying. If you say, like, pedophile, just say, I killed a cop. I punched out a mobile station, and then I killed a cop. Like, that's what I would say if I was in there as a pedophile. But then everyone knows. And I don't know how everyone knows everything, but everyone seems to know everything.
Yeah, how does everyone know everything? What Twitter feed are they following?
Well, it depends on what system. You know, federal, state, local jails and all. They have different ways of keeping records and keeping security on that stuff. The last time I was in the feds, and they're pretty tight on that stuff. They try to keep it under wraps. But then also what they do is they try to put certain people in certain areas with other people like them, you know. So they kind of sort it out and, you know, it doesn't work that well, but they do it.
Yeah.
Does some of the info come from guards that people get friendly with?
It can.
Adam would be in a comedian section.
Yeah.
You know, you could be in the wing with all the other funny guys.
And I'll what we do is we kick the shit out of the prop comics. We find out a guy's been working up there with props, then that's
here
the
we
guy.
Got a real hat coming
rape
in.
His ass like,
we
heard, in the shower.
We heard fucking Carrot Top's going to be doing a bit. We're going to fucking rape him.
No, me and Jimmy went to the joint for a man show bit once, and we went with all the guys we were in with were in for life, but they were in the nice guy section. Like, they're like we're not stabbing anybody. We're going to be in here. Like, there was this thing where it's like, we're going to be here for the next 25 years till we die. And I don't care what color anyone is. I don't want to get stabbed. You don't want to get stabbed. Let's all just be cool. And they'll let you stay with the non-troublemaking group. And they all seem to sort of abide by that. But it probably doesn't always work in the joint. Yes, Rusty?
No, but you do have to find some sort of a balance. Because if everything was off the hook all the time and it was full on, you know what I mean? Everybody'd be locked up. There'd be riots and things going on every time. So you do have to have people that represent races and different groups to speak for those groups to help keep them in line. Mm-hmm. Because somebody goes over and they sit down at the wrong table.
Right.
You know what I mean? That can start a fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if you have somebody that's, you know, speaking for those people and the others, they can kind of mediate it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe some guy goes and he pressures some guy that's with another group, you know, out of his commissary.
Uh-huh.
Well, then that guy goes to his shot caller. That shot caller talks to the guy that did it, you know, or the guy's group that did it. You know what I mean?
I like that.
And they work that
it's
out.
It's like high school.
It's like a UN, yeah.
It's like, well, local, you, it's like a local government.
It's like what you're doing is you're taking all these nationalities and all these people and cultures, and you're putting them all in this little tight little microcosm of a world.
Right.
They're on top of each other, literally. I mean, you got 3 blocks high sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You got your enemy sleeping over you, next to you, wherever.
Right.
So you got to watch your back. You've got to keep control of the situation. You got to keep the unnecessary things from happening.
Wow. I'll tell you, by the way, anytime they do one of those locked up prison documentary whatevers, I'm in. I mean, I don't care if they do the one where it's like the first day, the new guy's getting processed in there. They do whatever the documentary inside the joint, the scared straight, the anything. I'm in. Yes, Paul Bryan, were you saying something?
It's a longer discussion for another time, but I know you and I are fans of the scared straight thing
where they bring
the kids in and they yell at them, they scare them
mm-hmm.
straight.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a thing in the local news here in L.A. this morning, a YouTube video or some video had gotten out of someone taking the, you know, there's a scared straight program here in L.A. It just started one, apparently, and someone had taken some video of inmates or cops, whoever, yelling at kids, mm-hmm. and now like people are outraged and demand the program.
Oh, no.
It's the worst.
It's the greatest thing.
It's just one more chipping away. One more chipping away at the fibers.
People
society.
Who yell.
Yeah. Look. If a guy's going down that road and you can run into a dude like Rusty when you're 13 and he screams, "Give me your shoes," and that prevents you from wanting to be Rusty's bunkmate, then that's a good thing. I like the scared straight even for the gays. Guys, you want some dude who's not properly lubed? Going in your asshole?
No, I
tell you too, punk. Now stand back. Take those glasses. Take those glasses off. I got to drop a load on your cornea.
To keep them on.
That's right.
Okay.
You'll be begging for pussy by the time I'm done with you. Now suck my cock. That's my scared straight. Yeah, thank you. Good,
I suspect
right?
That's actually what the programs are like, where they try to change someone.
Give me your shoes. Wait a minute. Are those goddamn espadrilles? You son of a bitch. Those are espadrilles.
They're last year's models.
Goddamn, you got, what, is that a crepe sole? Goddamn it, son. You got rope going around that sole? Are you those gauchos? Take those things off. I'll break you in two.
They were a gift. I didn't buy them myself.
God damn it, son. Start sucking.
Sorry. You sure you haven't got a little experience with this?
You sound a little too good at this, man.
Write that down, Mike. The scared straight skit for the gay folks.
That's just what. If you ever get arrested and you mm-hmm. get put in a lock, that's what you got to do.
That's
start right out. Find the smallest guy. Go after his shoes.
Start. Give me those shoes. All right, Allison Rosen, you got.
Yes.
I'll pop out my fake eyeball, Allison, out of my ass. Allison, got some news for us.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by BlindsGalore.com. For 20 years, BlindsGalore.com has made it easy to get custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. They're hand-built from scratch, created just for your windows, and delivered right to your door. And you can do it all from home. Just take the measurements and customize it online. Order up to 15 free samples, or you can use their online builder to see your shades on your screen. Blinds Galore's experts will help every step of the way, either online or over the phone, and they have over 2 million windows covered. And some of those windows are owned by Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, who, when I've been over to their house, have shown me their Blinds Galore blinds, and they look so good. Whether you need more privacy to sleep in, to cool down, or just fix up a room, Blinds Galore has what you're looking for, and we got a great deal for you. Tell them about it, Gio.
Get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price at BlindsGalore.com. That's BlindsGalore.com.
And that was Evan Seinfeld and Rusty Coons back in 2012.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible first-hand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles. Just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm pretty sure I can fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational Hold My Beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And an odd exchange between Adam and Brian.
I miss those reenactments. I need more of them. I love them. Brian's poor eyes.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. If you watch the YouTube videos, by the way, we're back on YouTube, everybody. Every time Brian makes a joke, he always looks at me. I don't know why. I think he just wants to see if he made me laugh or something. But it's a fun little
I always catch him looking at the booth. And then sometimes he'll do when he's looking at pictures. This week when you guys came back to YouTube, he was looking at some image. I think the most recent episode when you guys were back. And I think he thought it was penises or something. And he's pointing down at his desk to like, have you guys in the booth confirm what he's seeing. Oh, I think it was fists or hands.
Yeah. Yeah, so it could be a visual show, too. There you go. All right, let's get going.
He's at the babysit ball, Brian.
Oh, no. He can take care of himself. All right, let's get going with our next clip. This is from 2015. What do we got?
This is Adam Carolla Show 1507. Sean Dunn, Sophia Locke, not in this portion, Gina Grant, and Brian Bishop. This is just the show opening with Gina back in studio now, I guess, as the official news girl kind of cemented in. And it's a fun little opening to the show that goes a little something like this.
Coming up on 6 years, and it's all because of you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Welcome back,
thank
baby.
Thank you.
And Bald Brian.
Eat pieces of me.
At Phil Bev wanted to hear that with the hashtag top drop.
All right. I had some thoughts because I was watching the Cam Girls doc over the weekend. And I know I swore I'd never say doc, but now I say doc.
Now you say doc.
T.S.
Who has the time?
You start watching it thinking it was porn, and then you realized, oh, this guy's going to be on our show.
Yeah, just stumbled.
Just a nice happy accident.
I start thinking, who's into this? How does this work?
And it's then about the webcam sex girl.
Yeah, and then I start thinking about phone sex, and then I thought about phone sex and my wiring, and I realize I'm wired like my son is wired, or my son is wired like I'm wired. Not moving the needle. Needle meaning my cock.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is...
Probably shouldn't call your cock the needle.
I've never...
Hey, babe. Want the needle?
I want to put space in front of it. All of a sudden, it goes up. Like the Grinch's heart.
Gotcha.
I've never thought for a second about getting a tattoo because it's always been like, what difference would that make in my life?
Right.
Like,
you know who you are. You don't need a tattoo.
Even if I didn't know who I was... spending an hour sitting in a seat with a guy who was ex-junkie and now paying him $275. It just didn't
add up.
For me, you know, at some point, my sister Lauren started spelling her name with a Y, and I just thought, why? Ironically. Yeah. Like, I'm very interested in what moves the needle, but the tats and the... I always felt the same about phone sex. I don't know where you guys are at with it. Well, now, if you're in a relationship and the person's, you know, got stationed in Alaska for 6 months, that's a little different. But probably a husky gal. But if that's what happened, that's what happened.
No pun intended.
Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Musher. Yeah. A little musher humor. But I had the closest I ever had to phone sex was a chick that called my apartment in like 1985 and had the wrong number, and we just stayed on the phone.
Well, that was nice. That's a happy accident.
Well, she wanted to have phone sex.
With somebody.
I wanted to have sex.
Right.
With anybody.
You had some common ground.
Yeah. So the common ground was I wanted to come on her ground that we're both standing on.
Come on ground?
Come on ground. So she kept going like, what are you wearing? And I was like, where are you sitting? What city are you in?
Find out what I'm not wearing.
I want to get there.
Yeah.
You know, and it just kind of kept going around. But I never wanted to,
Also, I always thought I would crack up if I started getting into that, like, you know you love it, bitch. You know, like,
there is something funny about it.
But I think that's okay. As long as you embrace that, then you can get through it. Is it? Does it just take too much? Really?
No, the laughing.
If you're busting yourself up.
Derails that train.
Anecdotally
speaking,
us.
I think it's tell okay. Us. I think that if you embrace the fact that it's kind of funny and it's kind of ridiculous, you can burst through that and get to the hot part. Is it just too much imagination, like too much effort to imagine all that shit? Or
For me, I'm a very rubber meets the chode kind of guy. The best part about sex is sex. The discussion of it. I mean, it's right up there with a discussion of a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
We can talk about all we want.
On the way to the fucking buffet, yeah. We can talk about it. But if we're just going to sit here.
I got to load up this plate.
Not satiated at all. Like, just the talk of it is not doing it for me.
And to Gina's point, you know what I remembered doesn't really work for me, and I'm sure for you also? Funny porn.
Oh, I'm totally with
funny
you.
Funny porn. I mean, I can enjoy it because it's funny, maybe in my refractory period, but porn not that's like, meant to be humorous.
Like parody porn.
Not two great flavors that don't go great together.
I absolutely agree.
I once, and Max
Porn Blooper is fantastic.
Can look this up. Yes. I rented Bobby Hollander's Porn Bloopers once. Like, you know, guy gets hit in the back of the sack with the jib mic and all that kind of stuff. I thought it would be better. I thought, I love comedy and I love porn.
Exactly.
Nah.
No.
No, it's like saying I love brisket, I love fudge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the same pot.
Some flavors don't go together.
Right. Well, either way, the phone sex for me never a thing.
So you've never technically done it. The closest you've gotten is to try to get some stranger to come to your house and then you hung up.
No, I tried to get to their house.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the talk was, what are you wearing? But I kept steering it toward where are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's seal the deal. Then the one time.
Are you looking at a big sign that says Hollywood? Help me out here.
I had this this girlfriend that wanted dirty talk once.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be like put down.
Oh.
Insulted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I told her I didn't care for her mom. And she got pissed off and it didn't work at all. But
you did what
she asked. I was really looking for that, like, shot in the gut, you know? Like, oh, you filthy little whore,
right.
You know? So filthy whore,
yeah.
You know? Like that. She knows. That's just a bunch of lip service,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah. And you never hit her with a, I'm not mad, just disappointed. Like those kind of put downs.
I should have done something like that instead. I just went right for the mom.
Criticize her table manners.
Yeah,
yeah. Elbows, no pinkies out. All right, it's Grammy time. Grammys were last night. Somebody tweeted me that they wanted to hear Isaac Hayes mashed up with "What If God Was One of Us." And I just
give me
thought,
that second. I got to wake Isaac up.
I'll give you that. And speaking of music, by the way, I'll let you hear a little Marky Ramone. He's coming up this week. He is this week on a Take a Knee podcast. Last Living Ramone. I'll give you a little snippet of that. And then we'll find this. Then we'll mash it up.
Now, did you
drinking
have
had gotten out of hand at that point?
Well, it wasn't out of hand. It was just that there were certain incidences that happened that, kind of interfered with our work ethic. I never got high before I went on the stage, never got high in the studio. Towards the end there, in 83, the first time when I was in the band, I started nipping a vodka in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy with the results of what I was hearing on that particular album we were recording. I didn't like the drum sound. I didn't like the producer. So it was kind of depressing to me. And, of course, I turned to the bottle. And I had it in the studio, and my best friend in the band, who was known to indulge in hard drugs, took it out of the garbage can and showed it to everybody, Dee Dee the Narc, mm-hmm. and waved it around and said, hey, look, Mark's drinking, and that was it. You know, then it was time to get help and go away for a while.
So he moved on, but do not worry. He came back to the Ramones. Do you have that, Paul Bryan? This is something we've done once or twice, but it's been a long time.
What would you ask if you had just one question?
This is not Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
Song.
God is good.
What
if God was one of us?
What?
Just a slob like one of us.
That's good.
Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home. What would it look like, and would you want to see?
No.
If seeing meant that you would have to believe.
No.
In things like heaven.
It's always funny.
And in Jesus and the saints and okay. All the prophets. And God is great. God is. What if God was one of us?
What?
Just a slob like one of us.
That's good.
Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home.
It's a good thing.
All right. First off, fuck all those guys in Vegas that are making 100K a show, Squizzy Dizzy over there with their fucking crazy haircuts and stuff.
You take balls.
Yeah, you go over there and make some real fucking money.
Seriously. So long, suckers.
Mash it up, man. I wouldn't mind hearing a little Elliot Gould over that song as well.
Ooh, that might be tougher. I'll see what I can
do. I'll give you a second to work for that.
Yeah, we can give it a shot. I'll see how it goes.
All right.
These are coming out of the same audio source, so if the audio isn't right, that's why. But we'll give it a shot.
Okay. Now, I can take a call if you want to start, right?
Live is always better.
All right.
If God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face? If you were faced with him in all his glory,
who gives a shit?
What would you ask if you had just one question? God is great, God is good, what if God
was one of us?
All right, not bad, we'll figure out, we'll equalize
it
a little bit, bump it up, we'll figure it out, put that on the list, Max Pat. All right, somebody's got a question about this girlfriend cheating on him. Let's see. Let's talk to Matt, 25, San Jose. Matt,
how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What happened?
I've been better. Friday night, I caught my girlfriend cheating on me with my best friend at my best friend's house.
Ooh.
What?
Mm-hmm. And how Isaac is outraged
over
this?
I can't believe it.
What? You just walked in on it?
Yeah, they were in his room, and they were just making out, you know, no real funny business going on.
Mm.
And I didn't know what to do. I just stood there like a chump and for like 10 seconds and then walked out.
Let me ask a quick question to the room and the peanut gallery on the other side of the glass. Or is this just bad wiring on my behalf? If you, hypothetical, at age 25, if you were going to walk in on your girlfriend banging away with your best friend,
making out,
but it's pretty much over
involved
at this point. Hypothetically, they were having intercourse or oral or something of a more serious nature. All right. Here's the hypothetical question for everybody. Would you prefer to walk in? Now, this is not your wife. This is not the mother of your children. Mm-hmm. This is your girlfriend and you're 25. Would you prefer to walk in and physically view what was going on for, well, a little forget-me-not in your vengeance spank bank?
Okay.
Or would you just rather just have heard about it or something and moved on? Like, it was verified, but you never
hearing about it. Hearing about it is worse in every way, because now you're imagining, now you're projecting, now it's haunting you. Like, what happened? What really? I wonder if she liked it or whatever it was. At least seeing it, you have a definitive image of what happened.
And also, arguably, you do have that little corner of your brain that's meant for you to beat off the shit when you're drunk.
Yep.
That's not quite right.
Little corner?
A large corner of your brain. A blimp hanger size.
A large majority of your brain.
That's meant to go for the sort of, it's that thing where you have your tooth that's sore, so you flick it with your tongue a little bit. There's a sexual version of that. Just that part where, look, you guys are done. And by the way, could actually be nice. 10 years from now, you're married, you got your own family, whatever. But you got that little picture lock in your head.
Yeah,
that's where I go.
I go exactly the opposite.
Yeah. It's a chick thing.
And it must be. But I think in your early 20s, you don't have the tools emotionally to deal with seeing that. I think that traumatizes you way more than just hearing about it secondhand.
I guarantee that most 25-year-old dudes who saw that would spank to it at some point in the next 30 days.
If only had 25-year-old dudes in the studio right now.
Now, Max Apata's got a brow raise. There's a lot of judgment in his face. But
yeah, what the fuck?
Oh, Matt, forgot you were there.
What the fuck?
Hold on, Matt.
That's hypothetical.
Matt. Now I'm asking Dawson, where are you at?
I'm with you. I'm with Brian. I think I'd have to see it because of the situation. Then there'd be no doubt in my mind. But I really doubt that I would beat off to it 15 years later. So I don't think it needs to be spanked.
It might be a wiring thing for you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Not even like 7 Heineken Jack.
Dawson, you know, he's sweetening the pot for you.
You're looking to shake things up just a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been a long avocado fest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kalen, where are we at?
I think I'd have to go with Dawson as well. I'd rather walk in and see it, because if I just heard
But listen, you guys are screwing up my hypothetical. I started my goddamn hypothetical by saying, you know that she did it. Mm-hmm. You don't need verification.
Okay.
So that, with that being said, would you like to see it or not see it, considering you're never going to be with this person again?
I agree. I think we're all saying that seeing it eliminates any in the back of your mind. Like,
there is in the hypothetical world we're living in, there is no back of your mind. You know it.
So you know exactly what happened.
You just know they had sex with somebody else, and you're never going to be with that person again. Would you still want to have that image? I would just argue sex is sex. Might as well plant another image up there. Kalen?
I'm going to stick with my original answer.
You're going no.
Yeah.
No? Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, if I'm not going to see him again, no matter what, then why does it matter?
That's my point.
Oh.
What's it matter? It's just one more image. Look, we all know the thing of the who were you with before me conversation.
What are you talking about?
This is a sort of extension of that. It's a bad conversation, but if you're never going to see the person again, do you know what I'm saying? You're not going to get back with them.
Yeah.
Nothing. No?
No.
And you're specifically making the case for spank make material.
Yeah, I think that's what this
I'm
is.
I'm only making spank. I'm not. Yeah.
You're making eggs out of spanked eggs.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Wait.
I'm saying there's such a thing as that sort of vengeance jack. You know what I mean? The one, the Marshawn Lynch beast mode.
Sure.
Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Garrett Blunt playing against the Buccaneers. The Steelers.
Yeah, it's not all baseball. Puppy dogs and sunflowers.
No. You're out for vengeance.
Yeah.
And so if a girl were trying to make you jealous, that would not be the way to do it, because you don't give a shit either way. Like if we were dating and I didn't feel like you were paying enough attention to me and I have a couple of screws loose, that wouldn't be the best way to get back at you. I'm going to wait till you walk in and see me screwing Bald Brian, because that'll make you jealous and you'll give me more attention. You're just over it at that point.
Well, I think I would be over at that point, at that point. But in my hypothetical world, you have verification. In my hypothetical world, you're verified that you're broken up. The person had sex.
Blue check.
I'd still want to see it, because that's a better story.
I walked in on my best friend and better my girlfriend story. Yeah. Fucking.
All right.
That's legitimate.
Better story.
That's better than
right,
they
now,
were just.
I'm going to hypothetical it one more time. Walked in. You know, you could say that story without lying versus actually see it. I know that sound deep, but all right. So you're not putting it in your drunken spank bank.
No.
Okay.
There's an internet.
Yeah.
I got gotcha.
Plenty of stuff out there.
Okay. And Kalen, no drunken spank bank for you.
No, but the story, I don't know, that intrigued me a little bit.
The part where you walked in on it.
Story, just so I could tell people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Max Pata, no drunken spank bank for you, but maybe the story?
No, I mean, if I had the choice, I'd still like to see it.
You'd like to see it?
Well, yeah.
That's an interesting twist.
And then do what with the image?
I mean, I don't think I'd do anything. It'd be heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking either way, but at least this way I get...
No chance for drunken spank bank material.
No, I'd be crying too hard.
All right, but you'd like to see it.
Years down the road.
Why would you like to see it?
Well, one, my imagination is a very dark place. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I know. But I know hypothetically, if that didn't matter, if that didn't matter, I mean, you have a choice between seeing a naked girl or not.
Oh wow.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And the guy may be easy on the eyes as well. Who knows? All right, so Brian, you and I are simpatico on this.
Guess so.
All right.
You stand alone.
All right. Takes a brave man to stand alone. All right. Jack stands. That's what I like about us. All right, so as I said, where was Matt? Matt?
Poor Matt.
Yeah. I think I see what you're saying, though. You know, I'm sure it'd be really liberating just to jack off to it a few times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like when... You know, you're balding. Why wear a hat all the time when you can just shave that bitch off?
How dare you, but yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, but they were just making out.
That's true, yeah.
How did you see that? How did you come upon that?
I was just going to go into his room. I thought he was in his room by himself, and I was just going to share a funny story with him. And next thing you know, it's not like that.
Yeah. Well, this is bound to happen. It happens all the time. Young people hang out together. It's always that. Everyone has it for everyone else's girlfriend and vice versa and whatever. And fine. All right, look, now you know where you stand. You get to move on, right, Matt?
Yeah, she was fat anyways. Yeah. I don't really like her.
All right. All right, then she did you a favor.
That's true.
All right, Matt. You sound like a delight.
Thank you, sir.
All right. What business are you in, Matt?
I'm in construction.
I was thinking that the entire time.
So proud.
I had that thought. And not a great student in high school?
No, I was a terrible student. I got like a 1.3 GPA.
Wow.
As good as yours.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Even lower than mine. Although I would argue if you backed out the 6 A's for football and baseball every semester, I might be down around a 1.3 pretty easily.
Maybe Matt got the 6 A's.
Matt, did you get the 6 A's too?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. For what?
No, I'm just. I didn't get any. But you didn't turn out that bad. Well, why can't I beat you?
That's the question.
You know, there are many greats who've like dropped out of high school and have an eighth grade education and so on and so forth. And then there are millions of people that are going through dumpsters right now that have the exact same story.
Right.
So you play the odds.
It's a small percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Who have become podcast kings.
That's right. Thank you, Matt.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
There's a chance.
Good luck with the new gal.
Thank you.
All right. Because it's a Grammy night, Grammy weekend, Grammy day last night, once in a while I pull out a song and play it, and it's... something that maybe you guys haven't heard before, and then you guys tweet me and you go, hey, never heard that song before, but I dug that song. I don't know why, but for a long time, they'll never play it on the radio out here. It's a little song by the Outlaws, and everyone knows the Lynyrd Skynyrd and all that kind of stuff. They know that kind of Molly Hatchet kind of
rock.
Southern rock. Yeah. This song you'll never hear on the radio because it's 8 minutes long.
It's 8 seconds under 10 minutes long.
Oh,
9:52.
Wow. But Dawson knows this song.
This was actually in heavy rotation on K-Tide in Santa Barbara when I was there. We played all 8 minutes of it.
Because you guys all smoked?
No, we were automated by then, but this would be a song that as soon as you'd hit play on it, you'd
gotta
smoke.
This is smoke and a deuce. This is a fag and a deuce. Mm-hmm. It's an English thing. Yeah, this sends the DJ out to the patio, and smoke. Take a crap.
You could take a crap and smoke a cigarette during the song. Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe a little bump. Maybe a little bump of coke. I don't know what other big songs the Outlaws had. They should have taken this song and just broken it into 5 songs.
Yeah. The radio edit's 8 minutes long.
We'll get to the chorus and then we'll turn it down and take another call.
If I bid you see this place where stories all ring true, will you let me pass?
Surprise, this hasn't been put in like a Tarantino movie or something. It's got that. It's just obscure enough.
Yeah.
Now, am I the only person that's heard this song? Except for Dawson.
Thus far,
I've never heard this band.
Not ringing a bell.
Yeah, I guess you kids are too young. You can pot it down a little, but just to let you know how long this fucking song is, we'll play
we'll
it while we
in.
Talk. Yeah. All right. Somebody's got a shy bladder. Greg?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
What's going on? 42, Denver?
Yes, sir. Hi, Bald. Hi, Gina.
Hi.
Yeah.
You know Green Grass and High Tides?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, see, he's from Denver, and he's old. Who knows? All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, so when I was went to basic training in 1990, on the third mm-hmm. night in basic training, the drill sergeant, huge black guy,
what?
Movie style. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Shocking. Are you sitting?
Mm-hmm.
Takes a trash can, throws it in the bay, and it's a surprise piss test. So he's standing over me, yelling at me, and ever since then I've had a shy bladder, and I think he might be able to cure it by doing some reenacting the trauma.
Surprise piss test.
Yeah, surprise piss test. Third day of basic training. 18 years old. Pretty scared.
So they want to make sure that when you're in combat, you can take a piss just about anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the theory behind it.
Yeah, because if you can't piss amongst other dudes in the out of doors, you're going to be screwed when you're like in country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they also make sure you're not on coke or on weed.
Uh-huh. Piss test. Oh, they're testing the piss and your ability to piss.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this traumatized you.
Yes, it's traumatized me. When I get to the sports arena to watch hockey or whatever, I can't go into the bathroom I have to go in the stall.
Hmm. Let me ask, has anyone ever been traumatized? I feel like
in
there's
general?
Been many attempts, but I've never really been traumatized.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it prevented me from doing, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, it's a wiring. No, I just mean in general. I talk to those people that got bit by a dog when they were 3 that can't be around dogs now and they're in their 50s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Everyone has a fear of heights. I have a fear of heights, I think, because when I was a young kid, I was on a snowmobile with my uncle, and we went off a small cliff. We mm-hmm. actually crashed into a ravine, mm-hmm. and it was very life-threatening, and it was very terrifying, and I don't know if that's because or if it's just a natural thing, but I feel like maybe I have a little fear of heights because of that.
Yeah, well, there's something, I mean, when you get in one of those elevators with the glass on the outside, mm-hmm. like the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and you go on the outside and you're going up and you're looking down, it's hardwired into you to freaked out.
To be a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's why they make them that way, just to get a little, it's a sort
rushing,
of roller coaster.
Rushing.
Yeah, but I don't really call that a real
okay, that's not
fear,
really
unless you can't go in elevators,
no.
you can't stay above the
Nothing
third
like
floor
that.
Or something like
Nothing
that. All right, so, Greg.
Yes, sir.
I guess the only way to cure this is to invite homeless guys over to your house and watch you piss. I mean, it's either that or go to every home game of the Nuggets and the, let's see, do they have Nuggets
Avalanche.
Anymore?
Yeah. Avalanche.
Rockies. Yeah, that can get expensive. Whereas the homeless guys will be happy, you know, to come by the house and just for the ability to shit indoors themselves.
You know what I mean? Earn some spare change, too.
Yeah. Give them a couple rice cakes. They're good.
I'm trying to pee right now. I think that if you were just yelling at me, like, basic training, I think that we could make pretty big strides.
All right. Well, are you over the toilet now?
Over the toilet.
All right.
Describe your look so we have something to go off of. Dark hair, bald, tall, short.
What can he make fun of as a drill sergeant?
Tall, short.
I'm 6'5", 220 pounds.
Mm.
And when I use the proper.
All right, I'll just start.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Beanpole, you call that a cock or some chapstick just fall out of your dungarees?
Yes, drill sergeant.
Yeah, but you address me in a clear and present tone. Not the voice you use to con drug money out of your liberal parents. You make me want to puke.
I did.
You know when your last Easter day was?
I don't know.
Yesterday! Yesterday!
Oh, God.
I'm your worst nightmare. I'm a black man who wields power over you and you and your spindly pink cock. Now, you evacuate your bladder and then you evacuate this tent. You understand me, son?
I'm real close, drill sergeant. I'm real close.
I'm going to have you peeling potatoes till old 2,000 hours. You understand me, son?
Yes, drill sergeant.
Where are you from? Denver?
Denver, drill sergeant.
Only thing that comes out of Denver is steers and queers. Now, which one is you?
I don't have horns, drill sergeant. So
then you must be
a
queer, son. Because the only thing that comes out of the greater Denver area, I'm very specific, steers and queers. You hear me? All right. How'd it go?
That was really... Yep, I'm going. This is a big day, Adam.
All right, Greg. I'm glad we had that breakthrough.
Podcast history.
Mm-hmm.
So aversion therapy works.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Greg. Is that Outlaw song still going? This is Stone Jam.
The meat of the song is a guitar solo.
There's three guitars.
There's three guitars.
The Southern rock rule. Okay. Mm-hmm. Three guitars.
Yeah. It just goes. It just goes.
And they all play lead.
I wonder where these guys are from. All right. Pot it down a little. Let me tell these guys about the... All right. Is the song still going?
Someone playing guitar. Yeah.
Those who don't believe me find your soul and set them free. Those who do believe in love, this time will be your key.
Now, how many minutes left?
Oh, it's almost halfway done. Four and change.
Here comes the hook.
Green grass and high eyes forever. Castles and stones so
now here comes the accordion solo. Oh no, it's guitar.
More guitar.
But they kick it up a notch.
Yeah, the tempo picks up.
All right, you get it. Fun song, and you'll never hear it on the radio because you know back then people made a 10-minute song because. The idea they had was for a 10-minute song. Mm-hmm. Now someone would tell them, you can't make that song.
Lose 8.5.
Yeah.
Damn right we would.
Today's episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Did you know that children can be targets of identity theft just like adults? School or medical office data breaches are common ways their information is exposed to cyber thieves. Help protect your child's identity by limiting how you share their social security number, finding safe locations for their documents, and keeping your online devices free of viruses and spyware. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your personal information gets exposed so often, making it dangerously easy for a cybercriminal to steal your identity. protecting your identity can be easy with LifeLock by Norton. LifeLock detects and alerts you to potential identity threats you may not spot on your own, like loans taken out in your name. If you do not become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. You got to check it out. It's LifeLock. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses, but it's easy to help protect yourself with LifeLock. Identity theft protection starts here. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to lifelock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
That clip from February of 2015. Before we get going with the next clip, I want to remind everybody, if you're not doing anything next Saturday, the 28th, I'll be playing some music at Wilmore Wine Bar in Long Beach, California. So come on down, yell out a Corolla request, and I'll write it down and play it on the next classics. All right. This next clip is an actual request from listener Ryan. He writes, "Hey guys, I was wondering if you'd be able to find the clip where Adam is discussing the time he had a hotel room above Dr. Drew, and after Adam got out of the shower and he's in a towel, he hears Christopher Lowell on television. He immediately raced downstairs to tell Dr. Drew that he may have found the gayest man on the planet, only to realize he's telling him while he's wearing a bath towel only. Hope you guys find it." Yeah, Ryan, we actually talked about this clip on the Corolla show this week and found some amazing Christopher Lowell footage, as well as the Woman Show, which was partially inspired by it. But let's hear Adam telling the story back in 2015.
Adam Carolla Show, 1519. Dr. Drew, Joe Coy, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. It's a story Adam's told many times over the years. Christopher Lowell, heterosexual man with wife and children, by the way. At least last time I checked. A very interesting, funny story about Adam and Drew being on the road. Very reminiscent of their early Loveline days. I hope you guys enjoy it.
So Adam and I have spent many, many, many hours on the road, right? I
mean, yes.
We've been all over the country. And to be fair to Adam, one of the first things I was shocked by is that, you know, we had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we got a flight. And God damn it, there was Adam by the elevator, like ready to rock, no matter what, never late, on time. And I mean, he was a good, he's a good, good.
Don't cheer for that.
Good, no, it was.
Yeah, thank you.
You think, you know, we didn't really know each other very well when we started going. And we'd been on time to our production sort of responsibilities. But the road is a different thing. It's a pain in the ass. And he asked me to sort of think of, like, you know, memories of days gone by. And
yes.
First thing that occurred to me was, we were in, we saw many, many Holiday Inns and Quality Inns and Something Inn. And, and we were in some godforsaken part of the Northern Plains, the Great Northwest. And we were in one of these places that has like a aisle, a hallway, and then windows along the outside facing the outside. And then the hotel rooms are on the inside. And I'm in the room with the plastic, you know, shower curtains and the bullshit TV with still the dial on it.
Yep.
And this is a few years ago. It's probably 15 years ago.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're banging at the door. Somebody banging on my door, like, you're screaming, "The gayest man in America is on TV right now. You've got to see this." I'm like, what? Open the door. Here's Adam in a towel.
I left my room in a towel.
He's run out of his room in a towel, run down this aisle that opens out to the world, mind you, with his ass hanging out.
Yeah.
To tell me that he has just seen, and you ran to my television and turned it on. Said, "You've got to see this. The gayest man in America."
It was
on
the
TV.
First time I'd experienced the majesty of Christopher Lowell on TV.
Oh.
You guys can do a Google image search of Christopher Lowell.
Shark
and
skin.
I was like, I have found the gayest man in the world.
You were so proud of yourself. It was like
I felt like I discovered him.
Strangely, you're showing me your ass bending over while you were declaring this.
I was presenting to you. You weren't putting two and two together. But yes, I
was presenting. Like some sort of baboon?
Yes. Right, presenting. Yes. I was engorged. I was presenting. And you didn't get it. You know, I was bending over.
I didn't get it
until
this
minute. Come on, come on.
The gayest man. Did you hear that? Gayest guy.
Gayest guy in the world. Yeah. I discovered him. I had not previously known about him. One of the things he was doing was telling you how to make faux bamboo out of PVC piping. And I was like, how expensive is real bamboo?
And it's not like anyone tells a story like, what happened to the coffee table? Well, the real bamboo collapsed under the weight of the candy dish. It's bamboo. It's pretty bamboo. Fucking strong, and
durable.
It's fairly plentiful, I'd say, as well. Yeah. But he was teaching everyone how to make faux bamboo out of PVC piping, and I fucking dragged my pipe into Dr. Drew's world.
Hoping for the best.
Hoping for the best.
I didn't.
Later on, we had a very heterosexual experience whilst jogging home
yes,
from the gymnasium.
We were in Whitewater, Wisconsin, and we found the gym, and we were walking back, having to talk about something. And we were sort of jogging back slowly to our hotel again, the piece of shit, whatever. And we rounded a corner, and there was a sorority on the corner, and they were taking like their picture, their sorority picture. There was a guy, a photographer on a ladder, a 12-foot ladder.
Yeah, they're all out on the lawn.
And they started screaming and yeah. chasing us.
Yeah.
And it was like an episode. I don't know if this is going to be timely, Adam. At the time, it almost – there was people alive who could still remember this. I'm
right.
not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's possible. But the Donny Osmond cartoon opened.
Yes.
With,
yes. yes. There was an Osmond brother cartoon because there was a mandate in the 70s that if you have a successful band, we must make a cartoon version on Saturday morning. The Jacksons had one. The Osmonds had one.
Partridge Family.
And they would always, the Brady Bunch, whatever it is, they would, the beginning of it would be like all the girls chasing, you know, there was always a... They're always chasing them down the street. I don't know why the guys never fucking rolled an ankle and got fucked. You know, like, how about I roll my ankle and get my dick sucked every once in a while? Why am I so fleet of foot? Now, you know, if a gaggle of Christopher Lowells are coming after you,
time to
run.
Cinch up your belt and run. But a bunch of sorority gals, I don't know, maybe should have hung out a little bit. Maybe I should have pulled up lame, you know what I mean?
You caught me.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't tell. It's not like they have an MRI machine in the sorority. If I said I pulled a hammy, I pulled a hammy.
Yeah. Who's to say you didn't?
Yeah, that's my point. None of those chicks have any kind of medical background or anything.
No, they've been fine with that.
Yeah.
So that was one adventure on the road. And God damn it, it was another one I was going to tell. And of
Kansas.
Course, Kansas. Oh, yeah.
Kansas.
That was eternal.
Kansas.
Yeah. So I can't tell it as well as you, but the sketch is...
Remember what we got picked up in.
Got picked up in a Toyota 4x4?
No, Nissan Pathfinder. That had circled the globe 29 times.
And this woman picked us up. They shoved us in the
back.
She
was with her friend.
With a friend, with some laundry and shit in the back. And they shoved us back in there. And we took off onto this highway into Kansas City from the airport. And the front end was jumping. It was shaking so much.
Right.
And Adam goes, road safe for about 42 miles an hour, not faster. We're going 60.
Like it was shimmying. It was pulling to the left. And at a certain point, when we were halfway from the airport, that's outside of Kansas City to whatever hotel we're staying at in Kansas City, the broad who picked us up turned around and said, "You guys know where the hotel is?" I should have never been in Kansas City before.
And they're kind of two sides. There's a Missouri side and a Kansas. Yep. We didn't even know which side. And they didn't either.
Right. And then she figured it out.
Anybody from Kansas City? The plaza. The plaza.
Shocking. Right here.
Oh, is it the plaza?
The plaza. Westport, the plaza.
Yeah.
Later on, she was going to pick us up a couple hours later and drive us to the campus,
which was
a good hour away.
I think it was longer than that, right? It was
longer with her behind the wheel because she couldn't find the fucking campus.
Right.
But also, I do believe she was late picking us up from the hotel.
Quite a bit late.
And the excuse, and this is probably when we started our slide into the fucking China and India are going to crush us in a decade abyss. Her and a friend just like picked us up and like, they're like, "You're a half hour late and we have a gig tonight. We've sold out 3,000 seats." And she was like, "Yeah, we were eating."
And then she wanted to tell us that Adam asked a question, like, why did you eat? Well, we were shopping.
We did some shopping and some eating. So anyway, we're late. We should get in the car. And we got in the car. She could not find the campus.
Yeah.
That's everything you want in a driver. Picks you up at the airport, doesn't know where the hotel is. Picks you up at the hotel, doesn't know where the campus is. And then the ride home.
I forgot about that part. You, Adam goes, how about some ribs?
Remember I want
that?
Barbecue. I was like, we're in Kansas City. I want some goddamn barbecue.
Some Casey Masterpiece.
I want something. And we ended up missing our turnoff, couldn't find the hotel, and at, I don't know, 12:30, ended up in a like strip mall to like Ribs R Us. Where
yeah,
some
it was,
kind
like,
of
it was
fucking,
like McRibs.
Yeah, we had a McRib. Yeah, McRib. Went to McDonald's and had a
it was
McRib
really bad.
In Kansas City. And that
but,
was,
but
it,
the
that
car
was
thing
it.
Just reminds me of a better story, even a better one, which we were in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa. And
yeah.
The guy, this is another thing where they always insist on some sort of gathering after the event.
And yes.
So they, again...
Do the show. Then afterward, you go with the hang out with
the committee or
the
something.
Committee,
you have dinner
yes.
somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere incredible. And so the guy, they pick us up. This is the Toyota hatchback. Remember
yes.
this?
Yes.
Toyota hatchback filled with laundry.
Yes.
I need hyperbole there. Filled.
Dirty camper laundry. Filled with laundry.
Yeah. The guy
threw stuffed in the back seat.
Shoved in the back seat. It's 12 degrees?
Yeah, people forget how small Japanese cars used to be. Japanese haven't grown much, but their cars are getting huge.
Yeah.
You look at a Tundra now with the crew cab on it and all that, or a Lexus or whatever. People, the old Toyota Corollas and the hatchbacks and the mini pickup trucks, I used to have Datsun pickup trucks, they were as big as Japanese.
Yeah, they're now. There were no armadas back then.
Yeah, now they're all Samoan.
Yeah.
They gotta revisit their culture.
Just call them Samoan cars from now on.
They're all fucking huge.
They're huge. Well, they
were compensating. Maybe it's a pee-pee thing. Anyway.
So the guy goes, hang on, I'm taking you to the dinner. It's going to be great. I got to change my clothes.
No, he doesn't say anything.
Oh, he just pulls up to his house.
He just says, we're going from the event to the dinner.
Yeah.
And as we're going from the event to the dinner, he's just pulling up a driveway of an apartment. And as we stop, he goes... Yeah, I'm going to change my pants.
Yeah.
And he shuts the door.
12 degrees outside.
Snowing outside. And me and Drew are just sitting in the driveway. And we were all over MTV at this time. So people are like coming by and putting their nose up against the window,
like,
banging
the
on the window, going, hey, there's Drew and Adam are in the hamper with wheels. You guys got to come check this out. He's upstairs for 20 minutes in his apartment. We're just sitting in his car.
No, Larry, an invitation to the two of you to join him?
No, I don't even know. He said he had to change his pants.
He'd just be right back. He'd come right back. It's fucking snowing outside.
He
does come back.
He does come back.
And I don't know how to describe Adam's disbelief. He goes,
he said he had to change. And I thought he was going to put on like a tie and a blazer or something because this event had a dress code and the other event didn't have a dress code.
Right. But he went upstairs with green jeans on and came down with black jeans on.
He just changed his pant color. Not even the pant material.
Yeah. His formal jeans.
Just a jean color.
And don't think Adam was a quiet participant in this ride.
Oh, my God. I couldn't fucking believe how insanely stupid everybody was and how bad they were at their job.
Thus, at least I'm pleased to be the inspiration for the movie Road Hard, although I did not get to participate in the production.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you learn to act.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have some questions from the audience out there?
We sure do. First question's from Stacy Oakley of San Diego. Where is Stacy?
Stacy Oakley's a hot girl name. Yeah, that's a hot girl name. Who are you crushing on? Stacy Oakley. You know what I mean? Like that's a ninth grade.
Who are you asking to the dance?
Stacy Oakley.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
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 Hersey said no to Bobby Jonestown last week, which is really an unfortunate name.
The dead golfer?
Yeah.
Stacy Oakley is the girl you could never fuck in high school.
She says that's true.
Yeah.
Are you Stacy Oakley?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you're cute now, and I'm guessing you're cute back then, too. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Stacy Oakley, sight unseen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you predicted.
You know what I mean?
In the fantasy draft, I'll take Stacy Oakley for second round minimum. I consider that a value pick in the second round.
Right. Like if somebody said, I want to set you up with Mildred Bourne, you'd be like, I got to see a couple of pictures, and I like them in color, and I want her holding a current newspaper with the date on it. I want to see this fucking Mildred Bort before we go out to the old spaghetti factory, and I drop a couple of sawbucks on her. I want to see this bitch. But
Stacey Oakley.
Oh,
deal.
Yeah.
Deal.
What, that Saturday night? This Saturday? Let's do this. I'm going to go for a pube trim.
Let's
Are we cool?
Let Stacey ask her goddamn question.
All right, I'm just saying.
What's her question? What is it? Did she get a mic or something?
There's probably a question about her appearance.
I'll read the question, and then Stacey, if you have anything to add, just let me know. Can she ever, you may have to clarify this, can she ever stop worrying if Adam is ever truly happy? Drew, something happened to your mic.
Sorry.
I don't know. Like, you think aquatic life are happy? You know what I mean? Like, when you go to the aquarium and you just see that big tuna going in a slow circle, do you ever go, is that thing happy or is it just swimming? Do you care? Because I just feel like that, like yellowtail just going in a real slow circle. Just sometimes I'm looking to eat, sometimes I'm looking to fuck, other times I'm just thinking, but I'm as happy as that tuna is. But you never see that tuna and go, oh, man, I feel really bad.
No, nor do you see
he's
the
worried
tuna
about the eel. Yeah, but the teal. Yeah, he's never flapping his fin for joy. But he never seems too bummed out. Mm-hmm. He's not looking down. No. Unclear if you can look down when your eyes...
Side to side,
the
really.
The size of a saucer and on the side of your head. But, yeah, I'm just like, you know, just the big tuna in the aquarium of life, just slowly go in a circle. Eventually they'll fish me out and, you know, literally and feed me to the orca.
Right.
Or whatever they do with them, turn me into fertilizer or whatever, donate my parts to other tuna or whatever they do over there. But I'm never, you know, I strive for satisfaction.
It seems to elude you though somehow.
The satisfaction?
Yes.
No, I'm satisfied. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just moving towards Santa. I'm moving into the satisfied aquarium.
All right, cool.
I asked for a transfer.
A new address.
Yeah.
I just imagine the tuna thinking, what the fuck's with those little fish? Why do they swim like that? You're complaining, thinking, what the hell's going on? What about those shrimp?
I'm not upset. You know, the thing about living in an aquarium is no one can see you cry. It's like in space where no one can hear you scream.
It's the same thing.
But right. Different.
But, yeah,
you know.
But underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just a big tuna going in a circle, and you know, eventually I'll float to the bottom.
Stacey Oakley, how many proms did you go to?
Yeah, over.
She has to think about
over under's five and
she
a half.
She has to think about it.
Yeah, three or four. Probably like 29-year-old dentists and stuff asking her out when she was 14 and shit like that. Three or four. So you went, now you were probably going to proms with the senior dude when you were the sophomore, the freshman, or whatever it is, right?
Sophomore.
Right.
Did you go to any other school proms? Any other school?
That's a power move.
Wow.
Going to other schools' proms.
I have a great other school prom story.
I'd love to hear it.
Have you never heard me tell this?
It's been a hell of a long time, and I tune out a lot when you talk.
A lot, you do. It's true, you do. My kids played gladiator football over in La Cañada, your homestead, and they did. They're now in college, and we had a blood drive, and I was lying in the La Cañada something, and I was looking up, and there's looking across the room, and there's like a
you're
stage.
You're giving blood.
Giving blood. I'm giving blood, and there's like a stage with a clock over it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I know I've seen that stage. Oh, that clock. And I had this like flashback. Somebody asked me to a prom in like 1973 to go. I was at another school to go to the prom in that, what is a cafeteria. Anybody go to La Cañada High? La Cañada.
Yeah.
And the band that night was Van Halen.
Yeah.
How about that? Songs David Lee Roth. And but it was
no David Lee.
No, no, not yet.
Van Hagar?
It was Van Halen.
Oh. No, not Van Hagar. Okay. Pre-Raw.
I figured.
Yeah.
And they sort of sucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were not the Van Halen you come to know.
Well, I'm sure you sucked at some point, too.
I mean, according to you, I still do, but whatever.
Well, no, that's in a, from a performance standpoint. I don't know what you're like medically. Three proms?
Three or four.
Three or four means five or six, right?
It probably does.
She's being humble.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's a lot of boutonniere buying. Still paying off those boutonnieres. Now, what do you do, by the way, when your daughter's...
Well, you're going to find out.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
I think I got to move to like one of those Arab countries or something. You know what I mean? It'd be like the Sally Field movie, but in reverse. Oh, no, no, it'll be perfect. Yeah. No, I'll snatch up my daughter.
Yeah, go.
I'll move to whatever stand.
Yeah.
And I'll just I'll teach her to like herd goats or something, you know, with a lot of shame, a lot of shame. Yes.
You've already been working on that. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to any proms other than your schools? Or?
No, I of course was not asked to any attend any prom other than my senior prom. I asked a girl from another school, which was an all-girl school. I figure, you know, I just upped it about 50%.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's no sausage swinging around there. Yeah. They're hungry. They're probably desperate. Maybe the lowest self-esteem from the weird outfits they had to wear, you know. So I went for the low-hanging fruit. You know what I mean?
I got a story. I don't know if that's better or worse. You tell me. I went to a prom in another state.
Ooh. Whoa!
Yeah, the state was Kansas.
Really?
Wow. It really was.
The hell?
Why?
It was a girl I'd met at that program that I wrote about in my book, the film program that we went to. We was before our senior years. We kept in touch with this girl, and I did well there because all the guys were nerds, including me. But I was amongst the top of the nerd chain.
King of the nerds. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so she called me up and asked me to her prom. I flew out to Kansas. I think it was the first.
Were you picked up by some girls that couldn't find their way to the hotel?
It's got to be weird being 17, like condoms. He's packing his he's packing his toiletry bag. Rogaine. All right. Aquavelva. I'm ready to rock.
Everything I need.
Also works as a natural lubricant. Oh, yeah.
Imagine that.
And aphrodisiac.
Yeah. I love the smell of Rogaine. When it mixes with the brow sweat. I've told you well, first off, I made a mistake that I'm going to share with my son, which is don't shoot for the moon when it comes to the prom. Because speaking of comes and shooting, there'll be none of that going on when you get out of your league. You know what I mean?
Your zone.
You got a price range. Yeah.
Well, explain your numbers theory. The numbers, everyone's got a number?
I don't know. Yeah, well, everyone has a number. But the point is you don't, you think, oh, I'm fucking, I got the world by the tail because I just jumped up three numbers. Mm-hmm. You are playing a very cruel joke on your cock and balls when you jump up. Because, like, hey, I'm a 6.5, and I landed a 9 to go to the prom. No. That just means nothing. That means nothing. No attention at the end of the prom.
It means it's going to end worse, because she's going to go off some other guy. You're going to end
strangely,
the
it's
alone.
Called the Stacey Oakley effect.
Yeah, Stacey Oakley effect.
I can absolutely attest to that, because my junior prom, I ended up at a Holodome, which I think are only in Kansas.
What the hell?
Yeah,
what?
With a traveling hockey team.
What?
And me and a friend of mine, and my
Gina,
date
where is this
got,
going, Gina?
My date got pissed and stomped off to the room, and I just couldn't figure out why.
So you lost your date on prom.
Oh yeah, no, I took off to go
and
hang
took
out
off
with this
with
traveling,
the traveling
hockey team.
I think all hockey teams technically are traveling. Yeah, you just insisted in playing. We don't leave Arleta. Are you with me, boys? Not. Yeah. We don't even venture into. We don't go to Pasadena. We don't go to Glendale. It's Arleta or fucking bus. You probably lose a fair amount of income.
Right.
Every time they're off the ice, they're technically traveling.
Right. That's right. So I went ahead and went. Yeah, I went Stacey Oakley.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be awesome, but didn't get anything at the end of the prom.
Chris took her like all the other ones?
And I'm sure. No, 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 no. She actually died.
Oh, Jesus. What did you do to her?
Poor Stacy.
Not that night, but I mean, like, it was like in college.
Jesus.
Like you know, a few years later, like, I don't know, 21
what
or
happened?
Something like that.
Broken heart.
Yeah. Yeah, she had her heart on layaway, Drew. literally broken heart. Like, she was running on a treadmill or something, like valve gave out or something.
Yeah. Don't you feel bad now?
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I had to stop beating off to her because, there's a certain amount of decorum. It's not like a porn star where it's okay because that's the way they would have wanted it. You know what I mean? Well, obviously, that was the business. They're in the business of bringing,
pleasure,
visual pleasure. And obviously, this is the only way their legacy carries on. is you beating off. You know what I mean? You carry on by you beating off. Well, yeah, otherwise, it's not like you sit around and talk about dead porn stars.
Right.
It just rarely comes up in conversation.
Yeah, and you seem weird if you keep bringing it up.
Oh,
seems
then you
weird.
Know the legacy's being kept alive.
Yeah, seems weird. Seems yeah. weird. All right, do we have another?
We do.
Wait, what was the question? Oh, yeah, yeah. Go in a circle. Yeah, I'm fine.
Tuna, tuna. Adam's a tuna, yeah.
I'm a tuna.
Yellowtail.
Mm-hmm. And that was a clip request from Ryan from back in 2015, and we paid it off a lot this week as well, because we got to hear some of The Woman Show, which Adam remembered it not being received so well, but we were watching it and we were dying laughing in the booth. So yeah, glad we got to revisit that this week. All right, that'll do for part one of today's episode. Stick around, part two of Corolla Classics coming up next.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.